Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 399. Gamer babies, they'll make your nightmares come true. I'm Severin, and I don't know what to do. What about you guys?
I'm not going to keep up that trend.
Yeah, don't.
I'm Shiva.
Don't sing.
I'm Fuzzwolf, and I'm a famous podcaster.
Oh, so it is a lovely night here in Dallas, and we are out on Shiva's back porch. They have the hookah on the ground behind them. We've got our two mics here to go. And we are ready to podcast and talk about the bad shit, the good shit, and hopefully some fun shit, too.
We've invited over 14 werewolves to bang Saro. It's a good night for everybody.
Yeah, well, what about me? Where are my 14 werewolves?
Apparently playing Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
You get sloppy seconds.
Oh, okay. I'll be like number 15 in Saro then?
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Like, filthy 15ths. And he would not mind one bit. That's
no.
Just saying. I know them. So.
You'll be in Saro, and then the werewolves will be like, oh, look at that Fennec butt moving up and down. I'm horny again. Ah!
Yay!
Knots for everybody.
It's like, I don't need therapy. I just need to get fucked in public by 14 werewolves. As God intended. Because, yeah, it's been a hell of a week, my friends. It's been either, like, political news, which we're all aware of, I'm sure. We have some fun news that Mr. Elon Muskie Husky has fucked himself. We've got some gamers being capital TM gamers over some really dumb shit that they missed that was added months ago. Bo is wanting to be petted, which is also very important. I got here, and he realized I'm wearing all black, and I needed some tan on me.
Yes,
so I'm literally now covered in dog fur.
Yeah, just a little bit of accessorizing, you know.
He hasn't seen me in a week. I mean, how could I do that to him? I need to come over more often and say hello. So there's a lot going on in the world, and I'm just going to go to our topic list and start from the top, because we have a topic telegram chat now. Where is it, though?
So we don't lose shit.
Yeah, because more often than not, we'd just be like, what the fuck?
We've had it for like 8 months now or something, haven't we?
Yeah, it's just it's not pinned to the top, so it moved up and down the list. Okay, so let's first of all do a follow-up to last week.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Everfree Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
Because they sort of dialed it back. And that was actually the point of the phone call that I got right as we got here.
Oh, okay.
So if you guys remember the 30 minutes that we invested last week in talking about Everfree Northwest and the what the fuckery that they were involved in, they finally did put out a statement. They put out statement one yesterday, which basically boiled down to, I'm sorry you made me be mean to you. And basically it made everybody mad. It was like water on a grease fire. Which I had to make sure I was making the right metaphor when I said that before I tweeted it, because I didn't want to look an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you certainly do not put water on a grease fire, because the water goes below the oil and then just spreads it everywhere. Because they didn't get quite ratioed in the Twitter sense, where they get like no retweets, no likes, and a billion replies. But they did get way more replies than they got likes and retweets. And then today, they did put out a, we're sorry, we fucked up, I really shouldn't have done that, I'm really embarrassed, please forgive me, thing. And that earned them back some goodwill, but there's still a bunch of vendors that are still holding up the middle finger.
As I should.
Because they're like, you know what, I can make my money at other cons, I can go be a furry, I can go do whatever, I don't need to tie myself to you fuckers. And I applaud them for that. But it is one of those things that Bob called me right as I got here and was kind of like, you know, I really think that this was the, oh no, yesterday's statement didn't work at all, and everybody's still mad, quick, put out the actual apology that the guy was forced to write under duress. And this is just our assumption, we don't fucking know. We're the observers going, what the fuck is going on here? But there has been some resolution. They did apologize. The artist who lost her place on staff is still off staff, but they've assured her that she can still apply to be a vendor if she likes. Exactly. It, just that tiny little bit of the ponies. You good?
Cough, 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 cough.
Yeah. So that's some light goofiness. It really is impressive how bad of a reply the initial thing was. I mean, I'll post a link to the original reply in the show notes because I saved a copy locally, and also took a copy on Google Docs. So in case they took it down, I would have a copy. And the guy, Big Kyle, also deactivated the Twitter account that he made specifically to beef with that artist. So that's good. I mean, it was just such an unnecessary black eye. Again, this is like if, what, Storm, right? Storm's the current board president, right? Who is it?
Path.
Path?
Path.
Oh. Okay.
We voted for him in everything.
I know. I couldn't remember, though. I know you stepped down, but that'd be like if Path just went rogue and started, like, talking about how he was going to fight somebody and vor them because he's a hyena or whatever. For 3 days, and none of us had any power to stop him. Which we do, by the way. Well, don't get any ideas, Path.
He would do that, but it would be funny.
Yeah, it would be
funny. It would be like if he, like, told an attendee to meet him in the parking lot so he could beat the shit out of him or something like that.
Yeah. But, thankfully,
he or didn't. Shiva being like, oh, you don't like your table placement? Well, fuck you.
Your table placement's on the roof!
On the moon. Go say bye.
So,
oh, you don't like bananas? Well, you're going to be vending on the motherfucking moon!
Yeah.
That's an old meme.
It is.
But we were talking about Everfree Northwest, so it made sense.
It's on topic. And hey, look, it's the first plane of the season. I will say, though, it has been just an absolutely glorious couple days now that it stopped raining. Highest in, like, 80, maybe.
You know where it came from? Plano.
Oh, fuzz.
It's where baby planes are made.
Yes. The other thing in the news, aside from the Kavanaugh bullshit, because that's been everywhere. And
we Kavanaugh, dog.
Yeah. is that the SEC is seeking to bar Elon Musk from being an officer or director of a public company over his shenanigans about joking about taking the company private. So Elon Musky Husky continues to be a massive doofus, just as a sign that just because you're a billionaire doesn't mean you're smart. And this is two separate things, because the SEC is suing him for shenanigans, mm-hmm. because his thing basically saying, oh, well, I've got the money to take it private. We'll, you know, we'll tack a 20% over the closing price of the day, which would be $4.20, and they're like, it would be $4.19. And then Elon Musk's like, yeah, but I just recently learned, with quotation fingers, what 420 means in marijuana culture, and therefore I thought my girlfriend would be amused. Like, he's doing shit to impress Grimes, except didn't they break up?
I think you said that last
week. Yeah, so it's just like, this guy has put himself into serious financial and legal and personal jeopardy because he just couldn't fucking log off. He's being sued by that dude from Thailand.
Yeah.
He's getting sued by the federal government. His girlfriend broke up with him. And now the SEC is seeking to bar him as an officer on a board of directors for any public company.
So he won't be able to be, I guess, CEO or...
Yeah, he couldn't be on the board of directors for Tesla. Because the motherfucker just could never log off.
So what is the bad thing about taking a company back private again? Okay,
so there's nothing... It's not really intrinsically bad to do that. What's bad is that when you're the CEO of a publicly traded company and you tweet something like that, you manipulate the stock market. And even if he was just being dumb and not thinking that, the sort of the SEC is going to look at it as you're trying to manipulate the market.
So you can do it if you do it, you know, through all the standard channels, but just not don't by
fucking tweet about it.
Yeah. Yeah, like there are legal ways to take your company private after it's been public.
But threatening it can have a severe stock market.
Yeah, but tweeting it before you actually do any of the legality behind it is like Tesla's corporate Twitter could tweet that it was happening once it was happening. You know, once they'd gone or say we're seeking regulatory approval and stuff, but not just Elon in a 420 induced haze going like, you know what? I think I can take my company private. And also, he also said the funding is secured, which like made a lot of eyebrows raise. It's like, oh, he's already talking about this. I don't know how that affected Tesla's stock. It may actually have made it go up because people are like, oh, well, if he's going to take a private, then I'll cash out. Yeah.
They had a high of $379 per share on August 7th. They had a low of $263 on September 7th, and it's currently sitting at $307. Mm. So basically their stock has been incredibly volatile.
When did he tweet that? I'm curious to see what the arc is versus his stupid tweet.
I'd have to look, but they are still down for the year because they started on January 2nd at 320.
Yeah.
So the stock has been a fucking roller coaster for everybody invested in Tesla, which isn't any of us, but you never know. The other thing that's sort of good before we get into the Kavanaugh thing, how much we want to talk about that, is that Bill Cosby went to prison!
Yay! And got Jell-O for his first meal.
Oh, I bet he did. That guy has been fucking things up for people for decades. And it really sucks, too. Because, like, for so long, Bill Cosby was held up as, like,
This father figure.
He was the
literally, his nickname was America's Dad.
Yeah, and he was, you know, all about the, you need to be a good father to your children. He would, you know, be like, oh, he, in a lot of ways, he was held up as, quote, one of the good ones for, like, as an example of a black father. And so, for all of his preaching and talking, and people viewing him as his character, Huxtable, he was out there drugging and raping for decades. And what sucks, also, and this splashed out on everybody else, because all the people that had previously been getting residuals for the show being available and on the air, when this all happened and he was on trial, that all disappeared. Like, the reason that the guy who played Theo, I think his name was, was working at a fucking Trader Joe's, because he needed a job. Bill Cosby fucked it up for everybody that was connected to that show. And so, like, he had to go get a job, and then he had to quit working at Trader Joe's because people started fucking with him at work.
That whole thing also severely pisses me off, because, like, I've known a couple people who are actors, and, like, I've also known of actors who are basically character actors who are, like, in shit forever in little roles, and, like, you just see them, like, 900 times because they show up in everything randomly. You know, people that aren't necessarily a household name, but, you know, they have a following and they're doing the jobbing actor thing. And it's just like a lot of writers do this too, where they'll like, they'll have a period of time where they can be a full-time writer, and then they'll have a period of time where like, shit's not selling so good, and they'll have to take something part-time, or they'll have to maintain a full-time job, or like, you know, Tom Clancy's first novel, Hunt for Red October, was massively successful. It was like a number one bestseller and stuff like that. He was still working as an insurance agent until after his like fourth or fifth book.
Yeah.
You know? And you would think like a major hit like that would be like, oh, he's probably set for life. It's like, No, he wasn't. He had to keep the day job going, keep building up that writing career until he was doing well enough to fully support himself.
Well, like, solve it. Kate Leff is done with the project she was working on and is now back on the job market. Mm-hmm. She wrote the first season of High Guardian Spice or whatever, and now that's done. The writing's done. And so she's not writing anymore until if she gets asked back for a second season, if that's successful or not. Mm-hmm. But that's just a question mark. And so she just has to find another thing to write. Because she's worked on comics, she's worked on cartoons, she's worked on TV, I think.
Yeah. And there's a lot of authors that are like, they're multiple award-winning authors, and like, winning a major award is very good for your career, but it doesn't necessarily pay the bills, and it certainly doesn't mean that you're going to be swimming in money. And like, a lot of independent writers have a partner who's supportive, that maybe have a high-paying job that can support in between the two of them.
So basically, you know, Bill Cosby fucked it up for a lot of people, fucked up a lot of people, and now he's in jail for 3 to 10 years. Mm. And he'll probably die in prison, because fuck him.
He's 81. And, frankly, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if just, like, the stress of going to trial and then being found guilty and then going to jail would be probably be... Because apparently he's not in great health either. I mean, he's 81. He's not going to be in great health regardless, really, but...
It's like, oh, he's too frail to go to prison. I guess we can just put him to sleep then. I don't know. It sucks that his bullshit has affected so many people.
Oh, and part of the whole thing when you get a sentence like that or you go up for parole or something like that is the things that parole boards want to hear is they want to hear remorse.
Contrition.
They want to hear that, like, you're sorry for what you did and you have to, like, own what you did. And he was still being, like very irate and pissed off and, you know, how can you do this to me kind of attitude, you know, right up to the sentencing stage. So if he doesn't fucking, like, learn his lesson in the first 3 years, it's going to go up for parole or whatnot, and they're going to make it 5, or they're going to make it 6, or he'll serve the whole 10.
And that actually leads us into the kind of the topic of, like, Kavanaugh and whatever.
Yeah.
Where we have these rich motherfucker elites who have never been challenged in their life.
Yeah.
Which you would think, like, with Bill Cosby, it would have been a little different. But these rich motherfuckers who
it's
were
just
so...
It's like Harvey Weinstein.
They're so used to getting away with their shit.
People don't want to worry about... People are worried about their careers, so nobody calls out these powerful people on their bullshit. And as this week in particular has shown, you know, women get 10 tons of shit when they do actually come out.
Yeah.
So the woman, the doctor...
Dr. Ford,
she could have just said nothing and just... kept being a professor at her college and not raised an alarm and not had, like, another blip in her life. And it would just be this thing that she's already kept inside for over 30 years, and she would just do that for the rest of her life. So, which, I mean, to even ask someone to do that is incredibly shitty anyway. So if you think that, like, she's getting anything out of coming forward, you're dead wrong.
Well, like, she's gotten death threats, she's gotten to go into hiding, she's gotten, like, people review bombing her on the school, on, like, Rate My Professor.
Right, like, this is gonna cause no end of chaos in her life. And she did it because she felt it was the right thing to do, because she knows that a fucking Supreme Court justice is gonna be in place for 30 or 40 years until they die of natural causes. And she felt this was very important, so she put her personal interests aside, and I feel did what she felt was good for the country.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing thing. It's a huge sacrifice. She should be fucking applauded for that.
It's very patriotic, in a way.
It is extremely patriotic to put, like, literally doing what Kennedy asked. I mean, not to raise the specter of another fucking womanizer, but literally doing something for her country.
Yeah.
You know?
And that, and with her breaking the silence, that also got other people to come forward and be like, yeah, this guy was a real shit. And, like, his performance today, where he's, like, yelling and screaming and looking like a baby that just shit itself.
And being snarky and shitty to the senators questioning him, which is not going to earn him any points.
And, like, with one thing, when Kavanaugh was asked, did he watch Dr. Ford's testimony, he just, like, no. While previously they just said, oh, yeah, he's watching in the other room. He didn't watch that shit. He doesn't care. All he sees is a woman in his way trying to take what is, quote, rightfully his. You know, these fucking goblins, these ghouls, these rich motherfuckers, they don't operate on the same morality we do. They don't get challenged. They grope, rape, and molest who they want. And God help anybody that challenges them. These generationally wealthy fuckers just get away with this. And then their cohorts, who are of similar age and similar background, it's all a fucking old boys club up there.
Yeah.
Just pat him on the back and are like, oh, I'm sorry that woman was so mean to you. Never mind the fact of
how dare she, you know?
You know? It's
fucking people piss me off.
And it's just a bunch of fucking ghouls running this shit. More than ever, it put me in a really despairing place when it comes to, like, the future of the country.
Puts me in a really despairing place about my fucking gender. You know? When they're like, well, if every man nominated has to be held up to these standards being not fucking raping people, like, that should not be, like, a fucking thing that you have to worry about, yeah. You know? Like, if someone is interviewing for a job or nominated for a position or something like that,
and they put on their resume, didn't rape anybody.
Yeah. I mean, like seriously, the minimum fucking level of human decency, you know? And, like, they can't reach it.
Like, if your entire party couldn't get confirmed because you're all a bunch of rapists, you shouldn't have power. I mean, fuck. I made it to 35. I ain't molested anybody. I learned to keep my fucking paws to myself. And obviously, you know, I grew up poor. I wasn't entitled to shit. I'm not generationally wealthy who has a daddy who can pay off any of these women that got molested or anything. Or could, you know, get them kicked out of school or whatever bullshit Ivy League nonsense these rich motherfuckers can pull.
That fucking affluenza.
Yeah.
That one little fucker. Playing.
You know, oh, he was rich and therefore didn't know better, while us fucking poors gotta know our place. And the thing is, like, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, but there's this, like, you know, this complete disregard for women. Where, like, this boys will be boys is, like, people are trying to drill it out. But it's gotta stick eventually. We're like, hey, don't molest women. Don't, like, boys being mean to girls doesn't mean he likes you. Like, that's another bullshit thing that gets told to kids.
That's another whole thing in the toxic masculinity thing. It's the fucked up way that we raise kids.
Well, it just goes back to bullying. It's like, oh, turn the other cheek. You know, just ignore them. You know, turn the other cheek. Like, it's your fault for, you know, reacting. And I know this from firsthand fucking experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. You have to sit there and suck it up, sunshine.
I was bullied at my parents' church until I punched the fucker in his face. And he stopped. Unfortunately, that'll get you kicked out of schools nowadays. But this bullying and, like, just the disregarding of just women. And the thing is, and this is another fucked up thing that happened, is, like, during the hearing, C-SPAN takes callers.
Right.
And, like, there were old fuckers, old men, being like, oh, what a lying whore, and I'd take her back to the woodshed and show her what's what. And, like, there's other women, like, I was, there was one that I saw a tweet about, it was like a 72-year-old woman, was like, yeah, I was molested in second grade, and I never told anybody. And she's, like, 72. And she still fucking remembers that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm trying to think about it, but I'm pretty sure that practically every woman I know has been assaulted in some way.
I know my sister has at least been catcalled, and I had this really depressing thought today where I was like, I wonder if my sister has a Me Too moment. She probably does. And my husband was like, yeah, you know, and it's like,
well, hell, I mean,
never asked her about it. And now I'm like, you know, and like when all the gun violence debate and stuff like that, you know, I was, of course, thinking of my niece is going to be going to school in 4 years. And now I'm like, yeah, now my niece is going into the world with these shitty fucking men.
And yeah.
I'm almost like, I want her to fucking turn out gay just so she has to deal with men a little bit less. Not that being a lesbian would cut all men out of her life, but at least she wouldn't have to be in a relationship with one.
I mean, I got some catcalls, but most of mine was in high school. Guys walking up behind me, I got groped more than a few times. Because as a teenager, I got in, to be fair, starting when I started to get my tits, I went from nothing to I had the biggest set in the class for a long time, and I got groped because of it. And I got, you know, haha, nice tits, whispered to me going down the hallway, got touched.
And that's fucked up.
Yeah. And it's like, and I didn't know how to react then, you know. I was picked on, and so the people doing it were some of the people who picked on me the most. And then they turn around and they touch me.
And then like, they act like it's a fucking compliment.
Well, they act like it's a compliment. Or, I didn't do anything. That whole, what are you talking about? I didn't touch you.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
I'm not grabbing your tits from the side, you know. I mean, come on.
One of the other shittier things that goes back to Kavanaugh is that the average age of the people in the Senate are like 60 fucking years old. These are people that grew up with groping their secretaries as common fucking behavior. Like, these monsters all think that this is just normal.
And okay.
And, like, it's gonna be a fucking generational shift that's needed to get that kind of mentality out of power.
And
they need to, like, be put in a power of weakness and then have someone that they don't desire to have anything to do with them touch them inappropriately and then see how they feel.
Sarah and I normally agree with you, but, like, I don't in this case because it's like, humans have been around for, what, a couple hundred thousand years?
Oh, yeah.
We're still dealing with this. It's not going to go away in a generation.
Oh, no. It's not. But, you know, basically, stuff like this, stuff like Me Too, just showing these fuckers that they can't get away with it forever. Like, yeah, it is going to have to be drilled into people. Hey, don't fucking touch other people without their consent. I mean, obviously... Yeah. That should be an obvious thing, but it's apparently not. And, like, as a society, you know, you need to be willing to say, hey, you know, if someone's getting gropey paws at the firm meet, tell them to knock it the fuck off, especially if the person getting groped doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, there is things that we, as people in the furry community, can help mitigate this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's getting gropey, tell them to knock it the fuck off. You know, say something. Because more often than not, it's just someone expecting to get away with it forever.
And I haven't encountered, like, a lot of, like, the sexual stuff like that. But, like, I mean, I've called out people in a couple of chats now that have dropped the R word. You know, and said, that's ableist. Don't fucking... Can you not use that? And you know what? Was this one particular chat where somebody said that. And I came in after, like, a bunch of other... conversation had happened, no one had said anything, and as soon as I said anything, like, three other people agreed with me, and it just really took somebody saying something.
It's like, hey, could you not be a shit?
Right. And it's the same thing with, you know, I've had conversations where people have been a shit about women, because we have that little subset of young gay men in the fandom that are the ooh, vaginas are gross, or ooh, girls kind of thing, and stuff like that. And it's like, it's okay to like cock, but it is not okay to denigrate the other genders at the same time.
Just be like, okay, it's not for you. I, for one, think vagina is perfectly fine.
You know, and going back to that, it's like I've had people in the fandom where basically they blew me... They blew me off and because I have had a vagina. And this is just basically this whole thing of anytime anybody female came up, it was very much, you could tell that they were very thirsty and I was not their level of interest. So it was just like, And I'm not talking about, like, flirting. I'm talking about just, you know, interacting to be whatever.
Yeah.
And so, I'd seen a tweet from someone the other day that was like, hey, bi and straight male furs, can you pull back on the fucking thirst? Like, holy shit, I know there's a woman here, but goddamn, son. You know? Yeah. Which is a problem in geek spaces overall. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, dial it back a notch. You can be horny, great. But don't be, like, horny towards other people without their consent. How can I tell you to just do that? It doesn't seem hard to me. And I'm a horny motherfucker. I love my porn, I like being horny, but I know there's a time and a place. And being weird towards people is not helpful.
Yeah.
And not wanted in 90% of the cases. Don't be a fucking creeper.
Yeah.
That'll get you in trouble more often than not. So, it all comes down to keeping your fucking hands to yourself. Consent is key. And don't act like an entitled rich fuckhead. Have anything else?
No.
No, that's a pretty good endpoint for that.
Okay. So, now that we're done with that, we can talk about the gamer.
Excuse me.
So I missed something, and I haven't heard what the latest...
Oh, man, the gamers, they're at it again. This is an evergreen statement, but this one is really funny. So, in the Total War series of games, sent for the last couple of games, you could get characters who were secretly women. This goes back to Rome, Total War Rome 1, apparently, where you would get units that they would just get the flavor text of, secretly a woman. And this could result in fun things like the Pope is a woman. Sure, whatever. And it doesn't have any gameplay effect, because why would it? But back in March, they added a thing where as you play the Total War games, there is a chance for women to join your bloodline and also women to become available as generals in your army. Now, specifically, it was very small chances for some, 0% chance for others, and a 50% chance for Kush, which is an African nation who apparently was pretty progressive in terms of warfare, I guess.
Mm.
But some dude decided to make hay with this, like claiming, oh no, they've inserted to SJW into my war game about Rome and the fall thereof, and basically turned this molehill into a mountain, or at least tried to.
And tried to die on it.
And then, of course, tried to get a woman fired, because there's always a woman to get fired in these stories. Because,
even if they weren't even the ones that wrote that game or came up with it.
Yeah, but she was a community manager who was like, look, if you don't like it, you can mod it out or don't play the game.
Yeah.
Because it was just an added thing that in an update. It happened in March.
And then, she got fired for saying that?
No, she didn't.
Okay, all right.
The company has stood by her as far as I know, and they put out a statement going, this is historically accurate, there were women who led armies, and if you don't like it, mod it out or don't play the game, we're not removing it, fuck you. Which is good, because Creative Assembly, the company that makes those, don't know much about their internal politics, but that's good that they are just like, look, we're not going to change this shit. What the fuck? Who cares? Because, and it doesn't affect the gameplay, it's just, oh no, there might be 10 women in your army as generals. But you don't have to pick them. When you have the recruitable generals, you get this whole fucking pool. And, like, the thing that started this was some gamer, capital G-T-M, gamer, was, like, posted a screenshot showing 5 female generals in a line as selectable. But there was arrows to either side, so there was more to pick from. He just managed to get 5 on the screen at once to complain about it and create this mountain out of a molehill. And, of course, the people that were getting mad are the, you know, the alt-right, the gamer types, and, of course, motherfucking Daily Stormer.
Because, of course. So on top of being, like, Nazis, basically, they apparently hate women, too.
Of course. You know, white supremacists are also male supremacists, like, 99% of the time. Like, not a big surprise. So that was one of the really goofy things. But then, this also comes off when they're not getting mad about the layoffs at Telltale.
Yeah.
I'm weaving this into a story.
Okay.
Just wait. Because this also goes to the third part about the gamers.
Right, yeah.
I'm good at this. So, Telltale Games, the guys that made The Walking Dead, The Wolf Among Us, they did a Batman Telltale game, they did a Guardians of the Galaxy, they did Borderlands, they were gonna do a Stranger Things one, They made the same game a million fucking times with the same shitty engine, and lo and behold, they didn't make that much money, actually, because they were snapping up all these licenses that are expensive as shit, and then just not making a lot of money on them, I guess, because the games are pretty niche. They're narrative-focused adventure games. There's not, like, visceral action combat or zombie killing aside from, like, cutscene quick-time events, which if you fail, you just restart.
They might have made a lot of money selling them, but it didn't offset the amount of money they were spending getting licensing rights for all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Cause, I mean, it sounds like they needed to slow their roll a lot.
Yeah. Because they had Marvel, they had DC, they had Netflix tied up in this, they had independent writers, so they had Gearbox for the Borderlands stuff. Like, they had deals, brand deals, with all these other companies that were getting their slice of the pie, and Steam's getting their slice of the pie, and it came down to them having financial backers pull out, and then they go, well, shit, we got no money left, guess we're closing, see ya. And they laid everybody off with no notice. Like, there were people who had relocated to the Bay Area to work for them that week when they got laid off unceremoniously. Like, these people uprooted themselves and moved to San fucking Jose, which you brought up at lunch is one of the most expensive places in the country to live.
Yep.
If not the...
San Jose is?
To buy a house, yeah.
Yeah. There was this little chart that I tweeted that was like, here's how much your salary would have to be to buy a median-priced house in X Metroplex. And in Dallas, they determined that a median-priced house is about $250,000, which you've seen the way our housing market is going insane lately, so that would be kind of difficult to find right now. And they were like, to buy a 250K house in Dallas, you'd have to make like $56,000 a year. And in San Francisco, it was like $175,000. And in San Jose, I believe it was $212,000 and some change. And Austin was a little bit higher. Like, if Dallas was $56,000, I think Austin was $59,000. Houston was slightly lower, like $53,000.
But then Houston.
Right. And, like, surprisingly, like, I mean, New York was high, but not as high as you. New York was like 91. So when you look at the Bay Area, it's like, holy fuck. Yeah. You know? And these small indie game companies are not paying $200,000-$300,000 a year to developers.
Oh, no. And so basically, these guys, they shut down with zero warning, which has put them under a class action lawsuit because they violated the state law. They violated both federal and state law by shutting down that way.
Huh.
Because they had so many people that were laid off, it counted as a mass layoff,
yeah,
which violated...
It was literally 90%.
Yeah. And they violated the WARN Act, both federally and in California, which basically means that companies over a certain size or doing layoffs over a certain size have to warn their people 60 days in advance and provide some form of severance, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas all the people at Telltale basically get nothing, got told to fuck off, and their health care, it ends at the end of the month because they'd only paid up to the end of the month for everybody.
Right.
So this happens on like the 20th or whatever. You got 10 days. Hope you don't have a health emergency after that. On the upside, a lot of companies have reached out. Like, it 250 people or so that a lot of the other companies came up and said, hey, we're going to have, like, Ubisoft. They have a million fucking studios. They're actually a very, very big company.
They're the ones that basically said they were going to host, like, a massive career day.
Yeah, they were going to have a big career day. Blizzard has reached out, Activision. Like, all the companies that are in the area, like, yeah, you know, let's find you people some fucking spots. Come on. So, like, it's good that the industry kind of takes care of the people, like tries to find them spots after they get laid off like this. That also kind of happened when Capcom Vancouver closed down. That was another several hundred people that lost their jobs that week.
Mm-hmm.
and that's up in Vancouver, which is the most expensive place to live in Canada. And so it's been a rough week in the game industry. But there's some good gaming shit, too. We'll get to that in a minute once we get to our Rays of Sunshine, to borrow the phrase from Barking Points.
Mm-hmm.
But this does lean back into Olive Brinker and Ray the Doe and Ant-Man Eden Miles Chong tweeting about her and causing his gamer mob to give her sufficient amounts of shit that she deactivated her Twitter. She made a comic about the Telltale layoffs, and like it was not even like a hot take, because it was like the gamers are surely going to be mad about this, and the fourth panels, like, actually were mad about Total War, so you got this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true, people aren't really mad about the layoffs happening, they're just mad about games not coming out. Like,
did you also notice the gamer character was in the fourth panel? It's like, yeah.
I thought it was very clever. And she makes very cute little comics. But
I thought it was a frog, actually. I thought it was a Pepe reference.
No.
Okay.
But it was a gator, and it was cute.
Yeah.
But a bunch of these gamer chuds got up in her grill and sent harassment her way. Because it's like some dipshit tweets about you negatively to his 40,000 person audience, that's going to result in a lot of shit flung your way. And he was not the only person with a lot of followers that decided to be a shit about it. On the upside, she does have a Patreon. There'll be a link in the show notes. Patreon.com/RayTheDoe.
Spell Ray.
RAETHEDOE. We tossed a buck her way. And she's up to $1,100 a month on Patreon.
Oh, it's gone up 100 nice. Since I checked earlier today.
Yeah, so like she's getting the love, and that's really great, and I hope people stick to it because, you know, they make cute content. And
yeah.
I'm sure this is not the way she would have liked to gain notoriety and followers and patrons, but hopefully it works out for her. Because, yeah, I mean, shitty gamers being, like, proving her right, too. Like,
right.
The
yeah.
thing is that they don't care about that. They care about more about.
Oh, it also throw an additional Rome. Level of shit on this. Ray, the character, is trans, and so is the artist.
Yeah.
So, yay, you just driven another trans woman off of fucking Twitter.
Gamers, woo. So, that sucks. That's bad. Now, I think we've covered all the bad shit. We do have some good shit. There's some good shit out there, I promise. So, first of all, Reddit has banned a bunch of hate subreddits.
Yay! And also, what the fuck Reddits.
Yeah, some of the what the fuck Reddits. Sero sent me a screen cap of the banned things. So, Reddit is a terrible website. Engaging with it is never a great idea. Sometimes there's good shit on some places, but a lot of times it's bad. And so, a bunch of celebs either got quarantined or banned. Cringe Anarchy, which was the spinoff of Cringe Picks, which is
make fun of fat people.
Make fun of fat people, make fun of trans people, just be a shithead. Watch people die, which does what it says on the tin. Ice Poseidon, who was a IRL streamer who apparently was doing, like, quote, prank vids, who got shit. The Red Pill, which is a bunch of misogynists. Full Communism, a satirical subreddit that called for violence. The Brain Cells, the R incel recovery thing, where previously they'd been banned. 9/11 Truth, because jet fuel can't melt Reddit HQ. And a smaller series of basically anti-gay, bigoted, or just racist subreddits like R Against Gay Marriage, Fragile Jewish Redditor, Mayo Town, Sub of Peace, White Beauty, White Pride, Gentiles United, Zog, Goyim Defense Force, R Holocaust, and R Cringe Chaos. So a number of awful places on Reddit got shit-canned, and that's always a good thing. But hopefully it will stick, and they will not reorganize into other areas. The incels already have their own fucking website. They can fuck off over there. But Reddit finally stepping down on them is nice, because, I mean, it already has a terrible fucking reputation. You can let these things go. In other cool news, the Seattle court has agreed to clear past marijuana convictions.
That is good news.
Mm-hmm.
So this affects like 600 people. Judges in Seattle have agreed to clear past misdemeanor convictions for pot possession that were prosecuted before marijuana was legalized in Washington State. Seattle Times reports that all seven judges in the Seattle Municipal Court signed an order September 11th setting out a process for vacating the cases. City Attorney Pete Holmes filed a motion in April asking the court to vacate the convictions. He argued that possessing small amounts of marijuana is no longer illegal, and clearing past convictions would right the injustices of a drug war that targeted people of color. Around 542 people will be affected. The ruling covers from about 1996, when municipal courts rather than county district courts began handling the misdemeanors, to 2010 when Holmes became the city attorney and stopped prosecuting low-level pot cases entirely. So finally, a little bit of restorative justice for pot people affected, specifically people of color, called out in this article, who have been targeted for smoking weed. That is a good thing. Yay!
That is good. And that, like I said before, that fucking needed to be done. Like, every state that legalized weed and immediately had a fucking windfall of tax profit should have just fucking done that immediately.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because how long has it been in Seattle now? A couple years it's been legal? So. Yeah, so, you know, that's a couple more years of people sitting in jail. It's like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do a day in jail, you know?
Yeah.
Let alone sit there after the thing you were convicted of is now legal. That's fucking bullshit. But I guess, yay, they finally got that together.
Yeah. In cool gay gamer news... Sonic Fox did very well this last weekend at CEO Taku.
I saw that. He won two things, I think.
He won both Dragon Ball FighterZ and Skullgirls Encore, which is their smaller game. Well, DBZ FighterZ is like the biggest fucking thing right now. And Skullgirls is like his niche thing that he loves. So that's really good. And also, another guy, pulling up his name, Tayson Defas, Taysondefas, is a player in Marvel's Capcom Infinite, which is not the most popular game, but his boyfriend, a player named Sebastian Oliva, gave him a power-up kiss during the finals.
Aww.
And it's this really cute gif of him, like, psyching himself up, and his boyfriend steps up, comes behind him, like, sup, babe, gives him a kiss,
aww,
goes in the final match, kicks the guy's ass, and wins the tournament.
Nice.
So the power of gayness is taking over the fighting game community, and more power to our fellow gay, to the good gay gamers out there. But it was nice. It's not a big tournament, but it is nice to see cute gay shit like that. It's like, aw, they're being gay and kissing, and then they win, so that's nice.
Man, we need to get Sonic Fox to more furry cons and have people pay $20 to the charity for the privilege of having their ass kicked by Sonic in a video game.
That would be nice. In other cool news, some good games came out, and they've added a werewolf to Fortnite. So, Time Spinner finally came out. It is a work of the artist named Bodhi Lee. And they've been working on this game for years. Like, I think it was a 6 or 7 year process. It's kind of it's like a small number of artists kind of thing, a bit like how Dustin Elysian Tale was a more or less single person project for Dean Dodrill. And it finally came out. It's apparently a pretty faithful ass Castlevania Symphony of the Night kind of game. So mm-hmm. It's a Metroidvania. And I've heard everything super good. Also, apparently it's really gay. Like, there's some gay content in the game, which is pissing off the gamers, which is more reason for me to pick it up. And I love Metroidvanias. I'm going to try to stream that.
Speaking of Dusk, I don't know if we ever mentioned on the show that it got released on app stores and on the Switch.
Yes, I managed to get one of the limited run games special editions. So cool. It comes with like a little fidget and like the sword, USB stick and some other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $70 or whatever to get a limited edition physical copy of the game. I haven't gotten it yet. Like, it'll be here in November, I think. Mm-hmm. But
supporting indie furry gamers.
Good, yes, specifically. Like, limited run games, they do like really nice limited edition stuff. And I got a copy. Like, I was waiting. Like, I made Panther pause the show we were watching when my alarm on my watch went off.
Uh-huh.
And I sat there. And I got it within, like, the first 2 minutes. And I didn't have to do that because it was the second wave.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, they still had, like, 300 copies or so left in, like, an hour after they started. But I wanted to be sure to get my copy of Dust and Elysian Tale. Because I put 12 hours into the game when I beat it the first time. And I got near 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good game. Like, the VA is not the greatest, I guess. But it's still really cute. And very furry. You know, you're like a samurai catman with a floaty sword. It's really neat. And it's available on, like, everything. Like, it was on Xbox, PC, PS4. It got released on iOS, I believe.
Yeah, iOS and Android.
So you can play it on, like, your Apple TV. And, like, Panthers played it. He likes it.
Play it on a big screen.
We also have a Steam Link, so he played it streaming from my PC onto the projector. So he's playing it on my super powerful rig for a 2D game. Uh-huh. And it looked really good, needless to say.
And on, like, a 60-inch wall.
Oh, wider than that. It's whatever. Like 6 feet, yeah. Oh,
okay, yeah.
It's we have a lot of diagonal space there.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Time Spinner's coming out. Also, another game that has a lot of positive buzz called CrossCode came out. It's another apparently really long one. Finally hit 1.0. It's got a lot of positive buzz. And so that's cool.
Speaking of time and things that piss off losers, 10 days till Doctor Who.
Woo!
Season 11, Jodie Whittaker, 13th Doctor.
She's coming.
She's a coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward. I got my season pass on iTunes already. You ready for that shit to download?
Also, The Good Place Season 3 starts, like, yeah, tonight.
I'm not sure how I'm going to watch that. Like, I might see if it's available to buy on iTunes, because, like, it won't hit Netflix for, like, a year.
Oh, I know, and that's what
bugged me. And I kind of got addicted to it, watching the first two seasons on Netflix.
Yeah, like, Panther and I watched Season 2 in 2 days.
Yeah.
Because they're all half-hour episodes.
Yeah, there's, so like, 12 or 13 episodes.
Plowed through it.
Yeah.
And enjoyed the hell out of it. So that's a really good show. You should check it out. It's on Netflix. Also in Wholesome Entertainment, The Great British Baking Show, Season 5. I finished watching that.
Mm.
And it's also really nice. Again, you guys have heard me extol the virtues of the baking show.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's so fucking nice to each other. And yeah, the reason being, there's no monetary prize involved. Oh. You get a cake dish and some flowers, and you get to be famous. Like, all the winners of the show do get to spin off and be famous chefs in the country.
Yeah.
And, like, it does translate to financial success, but there's not, like, a cash prize for winning Bake Off. You just get notoriety. Even just being on Bake Off and doing well will get you some notoriety and some baking cred in the UK.
Cool.
But in, like, at the end of the season, they did sort of a where are they now?
Uh-huh.
And, like, people became friends. They, like, a group of the younger bakers went to go see one of the older bakers in Liverpool. Two of the bakers became, like, two of the finals became close friends and went on holiday together.
Oh.
And, like, it's really cute because these people who are all very talented and very skilled bakers are also nice to each other. And, like, they became friends after being on a reality cooking show together.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's just like a straight-up competition. There's no reality bullshit attached to it.
Right.
So that made me feel really nice and fuzzy, because I was watching it late night feeling bummed and like, aw. Like, the right person won, and they're friends! Ah! I love it!
But speaking of wholesome shows that I enjoy, this is just a warning that Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown goes off of Netflix on October 1st.
Yeah, they extended it further, but time's running out.
Yeah, so if you want to catch up on some of the first 8 or so seasons, it's on Netflix till the end of the month, but you don't have a lot of time there. But, and I have not watched a lot of them. There's a lot of those episodes, so I'm probably going to pick up...
Find a way to get legally...
This is going to be really rough. The new season is either just starting or about to start, like the ones that he filmed.
Yeah.
And had not been released yet. And I mean, I might pick that up on iTunes too, but that's probably going to be difficult to watch, knowing they're his final episodes.
Yeah, that's sad. Also, Fortnite added a werewolf. It's very hard to get, but you can get a sexy man that turns into a far sexier werewolf.
Yeah, level 14, right?
So yeah, totally. I wish. unfortunately, it is level 100, so like you have to be super dedicated to get to it. But they like, yeah, to get to it, you have 70 days. Like, there's 69 days left in season. Nice. But to get to level 100, they say it'll take you between 75 to 150 hours of play to do this. And that's actually fairly reasonable if you spread it out across 75 days. Like, you do a couple big sessions, and it's also based on, like, how fast you level and how well you play.
Right.
So, like, it seems achievable. I'm probably going to give it a shot just to see if I can get the sexy werewolf man.
Uh-huh.
Or, if anything, just get better at it. In video game news, where you can also be cute furry creatures, WildStar is finally shutting down. It's a sad shame. Wildstar was a Carbine Studios MMO that came out a few years ago, I think 3-4 years ago, and they catered to the hardcore crowd. Like, the PvE was always pretty hard and difficult, but the raiding, they're like, we're gonna make it vanilla WoW raiding, but harder. And as a result, once you got to level the max level, you had fuck all to do unless you were in a raiding guild. And it was one of those games where, like, everything was so brutally fucking hard, everybody just burned out. And they never really tuned it down. So I think they only ever did, like, 2 raids and a single boss raid. Like, the game was pretty lacking in content. There was lots of strikes against it for legit reasons. But, that being said, they have 2 months left until the shutdown, and what they've done is actually really cool. They're like, look, the game shuts down November 28th, and so what we're going to do is we have made the game completely free-to-play. Everybody gets the benefits of being a subscriber for the past 2 months. We're doing permanent double XP, permanent bonus. We're making it so that any money you put into the game after July 1st is getting refunded to you. Any currency that you bought in the game is being converted to, like, Carbine points. All the stuff that was previously locked behind the real currency is now being converted to the secondary currency, which you will get a vast amount more. You'll get, like, exalted reputations that would take a while to unlock, so you can get all the in-game shit. They're doing a speed run of the year for all the holidays, so it's now, like, there's going to be, like, 1 week where it's like, all right, it's the Halloween, all right, it's the Christmas, all right, it's the Easter. Like, they're doing a speed run of the year to get all that stuff done. And then, like, for the final week, they're like, look, we're just going to get fucking wild, so just come join the fun. Which is honestly a far better way of doing it than other games that have just shut down. They're like, yeah, well, see ya, fuckers. They're like, look, we know when they're shutting down, we're going to make the last couple months go out with a bang, try to give people a bunch of good memories for the game. And I think that's great. I'm going to re-download it and give it a shot, because my little medic, my little finicky-looking Chua Saverin, who's a medic, pretty cool-looking little fucker. I mean, I was in the beta for that game. I bought the $70 limited edition. I played it for like 6 months after launch and then just stopped because I hit the rating wall. I didn't have a raid group to do with, and, like, everybody was like, yo, this fucking sucks. This is really hard. I think, like, only 2-5% of the player base ever saw the raids. It was really that hard. So, that's cool if you guys want to look into it. It was a lot of fun. It had some neat character designs. It's like a Ratchet and Clank-looking MMO. It has a very neat battle system. I liked it a lot, but just fell off because of the raiding aspect. I would love for them to have, like, a theme park mode available where you could just download the world and explore it, because it had a really neat world, but that's not going to happen, probably. Mm. Hey, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Bo said hello. Also, moving on to something cool. So last week we talked about Beyond the Western Deep Volume 1. They have passed their goal. They're at 17,219 as of this recording of 16,000. They still have a week left.
Oh, good, because, like, 18,500 is their stretch goal.
So, yeah, they got 1,300 to hit their stretch goal. That's cool.
Yep.
They got 7 days. Like, we'll boost this some more. There'll be a link in the show notes, as always.
7 days.
But it's great. This is a furry webcomic, all ages. It's got some otters and shit. Look like.
Bo says hi.
Bo says hi. And that's good. There's, like, a stoat and an otter and a chipmunk squirrel-looking dude, and they're fighting. So, that's neat, that's fun, that's good shit. Furries succeeding and their stuff is always nice. And that goes through, I think, all of our topics. Do you got anything further?
I do, yes. In the world of furry writing, October is the annual Furry Book Month, which is something that started, I think, 2 years ago. Where basically most of the furry publishers all do a sale and special promotions and stuff like that in the month of October, to push our furry books, basically. So if you go to the Furry Writers Guild, there's going to be a write-up on what everybody is offering. It's either furwritersguild.com or furrywritersguild.com. I forget which. I think it's furry. And their Twitter handle is Fur Writers Guild, because Twitter handles used to have to be shorter. But we're trying to all use the same coupon code, which is FBM2018 for Furry Book Month 2018. I wrote this down. I've forgotten exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing, like, I think it's 10% off everything on For Planet and, like, 15 or more. No, I think it's, like, 20% on books, on Bad Dog books. And I'm going to have some of the anthologies are going to be at reduced prices also. And I'm also doing a thing on For Planet where if you haven't ordered, it's over $100. I'll throw in a free book up to $20 in value. So that's what I'm doing. But most of the other publishers are also doing stuff. Go to the Furry Writers Guild website and see what everybody is offering up. Gotta push our furry lit. Speaking of pushing furry lit, next weekend is Alamo City Furry Invasion. So, Savrin and Ajax will be down there at the Fur Planet table, hopefully selling some books. Yeah, so check out that con. It's only its second year.
Yeah,
it's fairly new.
5th, 6th, 7th.
Oh, and another really cool thing that happened is that, I talked about Furvana last week, right? And I was talking about how it looks like this neat little con. It might be interesting to go to. Well, since I talked about that, one of the writers that I work with has been announced as one of their guests of honor for their inaugural year. So Mary E. Loud, she writes the Otters in Space series. She's also been editing our Roar anthology since Volume 6. And she has, like, over 100 short stories published in various venues, both furry and non. She tends to do a bunch of panels at conventions. She's very knowledgeable. She's done a lot, I feel, to really push furry writing forward. And I'm actually super happy for her, and it's great to see her being honored as a guest of honor. Especially for, like, a new con, like, to be, like, one of their first picks. That's pretty fucking sweet. So I hope she has a good time. I'm still thinking of attending anyway, so I may end up in Ocean Shores, Washington next year.
Cool, cool.
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else, Shiva?
I've just been working, you know, that's...
Been punching the raid in WoW, killing Gahoon.
Yeah, WoW. Dealers open for Fiesta, so I've been handling that.
Mm-hmm.
That's been most of my life this last week, is work and raid and con. It's been a pretty boring week. Sorry.
Hey, that's actually a good thing in a lot of cases.
Oh, God, yeah. A boring week would be kind of nice.
They're down doing their show in Warrenton, Texas, which is middle of fucking nowhere. Google map that shit.
Mm. Are you going to have to help them?
Haven't had to yet, so... Let's knock on wood and hope that that remains the case.
Oh, and another thing is that I had mentioned last week or the week before that there was the first hotel furry convention in Oklahoma was happening over Martin Luther King weekend 2020 in Tulsa. And since that came out, another con has been announced in Oklahoma. This time it is in Oklahoma City. And they are aiming for October of 2019. And they've actually been working on it for about 3 years. I don't know who all is involved with it or anything, but the fact that they've been planning it since the last year of OkaCon. And I am looking, I'm sure I posted a link about it somewhere in here. I can't find it. I don't know the name of the con, so Savern will put it in the show notes for me. But it is a con in Oklahoma City, so I don't know what weekend it is. So depending on what weekend it is in October of 2019, will determine whether I'm able to go to it or not, and if it clashes with, like, any other cons, like Furvana, which is around the same time. You know, that's something else to put on your radar if you're in this sort of central U.S. area and you miss having a furry convention in Oklahoma. You're about to have two.
Oh, man. Unrelated to anything, poor fucking Rick Griffin gets the most dumbass pedants in his comments.
Oh.
Like, he posted this beefy Lady Bowser to go with the Lady Bowser craze, and people were dipshits in there constantly because it got to the front page of DeviantArt. And then he's posting stuff about his, like, fictional cat people and fictional chubby raccoon people for some story thing. And people are arguing with him over, like, fictional cat people can't be that flexible. They're not as flexible as insert real life person here. And he's like, they're fucking space cats that don't wear clothes. Fuck you. So
I saw that come through my E631 and I thought, it's like, oh, those are cute.
Yeah, they're cute ringtails, and they're cute cat things, and cute whatever.
Sorry, somebody saying nobody could be that flexible is just, that's someone who has not had enough life experience.
That's someone who's never actually owned a cat,
like,
and has not seen them sleep casually in this pretzel.
Well, I was thinking more people that haven't seen other people be extremely flexible.
I mean, and who hasn't wished they were more flexible, you know? Like, who among us has not tried to suck their own dick?
Shiva.
Shiva. That's the easy answer, obviously.
I mean,
you should have a drawing of your character sucking her own dick, though. Just so that you can, like, join the club.
What's the big deal? It's like tickling yourself. It doesn't really work.
I wonder. Yeah. I wonder how good it actually feels.
I've seen porn of people doing it to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen RL people, like, do it in pictures.
But looks very uncomfortable.
Exactly. Like, it's a hell of a feat to be like, yeah, I'm a cat. Woo!
Yeah, I remember somebody saying that they could do it, but, like, if they hadn't been keeping up with their yoga, it like, really made their back hurt the next day. And
it doesn't seem worth it. Just get a fucking stroker or something. You got hands. Get a volunteer. Come on. It's not that hard. I mean, if you can suck your own dick, that's probably enough to catch somebody interested enough to come let them do the dick sucking for you.
Nah, you it's let like, them fuck it, you and fuck your dick into your mouth.
Does it feel better than your hand to be bent over at that weird angle and probably having to hold your breath?
Feel your organs squishing.
I mean, is it really worth it for the thrill?
Who knows?
Well, oh, and if you're hung enough, I mean, you could do your own autoerotic asphyxiation. You'd be like, choke yourself with your own cock.
So I think we should just like the
conversation in Chasing Mary. Yeah, they found him dead, balls resting on his chin. Wow, he finally made it.
Oh my god.
So if you're a contortionist who can suck their own dick, feel free to email us at southpawscast@gmail.com.
We're really curious on if the pleasure is worth the pain.
You can also find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. You can find us on
Patreon,
SouthPawsCast. You can find us on Tumblr, SouthPawsCast.
You can find us on Hellsite at SouthPawsCast.
Yep. Don't have a Mastodon thing for the thing yet, but you can find me on Mastodon at Saverin at Snouts.online. You can find me on Hellsite at Saverin Drake. You can find me on Twitch, hopefully streaming Fortnite and or Time Spinner, and then maybe eventually CrossCode if I can get my shit together enough to do it. Just twitch.tv/Saverin.
Is Fennec.top still good?
Fennec.top is still a completely valid URL. And I was tempted to use that as a
I would Mastodon. Argue about that being a valid URL.
Oh, I know, right? I joked about making a Mastodon instance with that, and they were like, why not? I do own Fennec.top, that is true. And it will take you to my Twitch page.
You can find me on Hellsite at Fuzzwolf. Fuzzwolf is brought to you by forplanet.com.
You should probably... Hellsite, they mean Twitter.
Yes.
Which if you haven't listened to any of our prior episodes, you might not pick that up.
I think anyone that's on Twitter knows that Hellsite is Twitter. I'm also on Mastodon. I'm Fuzzwolf at mastodon.social. So I just went super generic after my instance defederated and then refederated with Snouts. I was like, I never read the federated tweet feed anymore anyway, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Like, I can Mastodon still follow anyone I want.
Own weirdness.
Yeah.
But that particular bit of nonsense was silly. And they kissed and made up, but it's still... made it so, like, we couldn't follow each other. It was weird.
Is this, like, two different, like, almost, I hate to say it, servers?
Yeah, it literally is.
Literally,
servers.
Yes.
So it's kind of like having different Discord-esque servers?
Yeah, where you couldn't it's really... like where everybody, or it's kind of like how WoW used to be. It's actually a lot like WoW currently. You know how they have the masters, the group servers?
Mm-hmm.
How it used to be, like, on if you're from Ulduman, or Tanaris, or Ravencrest, you're on separate instances. But since they added it, they fixed that, people from Tanaris, or Ulduman, or whatever, servers,
mm-hmm.
are on the mega server and can talk to each other, even though sometimes it's like name-server. But if they defederated, it'd be like if one server got booped out to a different one, they couldn't talk into the group instance anymore. They couldn't be in trade and be a goblin.
That
in like a literal or metaphorical sense.
So these two groups had a falling out with yes. each other?
That is one of the main downfalls of Mastodon, but it is still a lot nicer, and there are no brands.
Yeah, and I after that happened, I just moved to the main Mastodon.social is the one that's actually run by Mastodon.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to have to deal with fucking moving my account again and having to, like, everyone has to refollow you.
Yeah.
If you move and shit like that. So, you know, right now my old account is like, this account has moved to Mastodon.social. But yeah, if you followed me on my original account, you'd have to refollow me on the Mastodon.
But yeah,
young technology.
Yeah, there's a lot of furry servers. There's like Vulpine.club, Yif.life, stuff like that. I mean, people had fun. Snouts.online is the one I'm on.
Awoo.space.
Yeah. Like, Finnick.talk could just, like, it could be a server, but no one could join it because they don't exist.
And then there's, like, well, like, there's also, like, I know at least one guy that set one up. Actually, I know, like, two that set one up, like, just for him.
Yeah.
Like he has his own URL, his own account, and, like, I guess just follows whoever. And then Kevin Sonny, Ursula's husband, he set one up that's just, like, a friends-only thing. So it's him, it's Ursula, although she never toots. And like a friend of theirs or something like that. But, so you could do like your own private server and have it like we could set one up, but it would only be like
Secret Friends Club.
Secret Friends Club .yif or whatever. I don't know.
We do have southpawscast.club, I think. We have a couple URLs that I bought. They were cheap. They were like a dollar.
Oh, all right.
But anyways, Shiva, what about you?
I'm technically on Twitter.
You don't really use it, which is really for the best.
Chimera on there. Mostly you'll find me on Telegram. Again, it's Chimera, Khymaera.
And we still have our podcast, Nick and Judy Appreciation Station channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I jokingly changed the name and two people left. It was weird. It's still very active. We still have lots of porn.
Wait, you changed it from the Southpaws
chat? Oh, it's Southpaws Fan Chat - Nick and Judy Appreciation Station.
Uh-huh.
Because the joke was that the core tenet of the Telegram group is that we post lots of Nick and Judy porn, individually or together.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I guess someone saw the name change or were like, why the fuck am I in this channel? Or it could just be that people, like, made their accounts and they didn't log in for 6 months and they got booped. Who knows? Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw a link to that in the show notes because, you know, why not? If you want to hang out and chat and talk about porn.
Apparently share Nick and Judy porn.
Yep. And, like, we have the list of what's not allowed, but if it's in the wheelhouse, you're welcome to share it.
Mm-hmm. It is very not safe for work.
Yes, extremely not safe for work. But since it's a private group that's invite only, you can get away with that. Alright, so, that about wraps it up for this week. Find us on Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. Give us money if you like us. We'd really appreciate it if you do. And on that note, good night!
And big books.